from Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Lester Curran here saying hello once again and welcome in the Saviour's name to our Gospel broadcast. Today we're hearing another short excerpt from the testimony tape of Mrs. Pat Johnston, and the Reverend Ivan Foster is once more letting the Bible speak. But before that, let's hear these words in song.
To our program. I hope that you enjoy what we have in store for you. We're going to be continuing our study in the best known words in the Bible. There are plenty of people who know these words and who could recite these words who perhaps have never really read the Bible at all. I'm referring, of course, to that which is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. But first of all, we come to another extract from Pat Johnston's testimony. She has come to that part of her story where Bertie, her boyfriend, has begun to question her about her religion. Now, Bertie really had no religion at this time. And if you listened to our programs last month, we featured his testimony, and you can get his tape if you request it from us. It's free, just like Pat's. But while Bertie had really no religion, Pat was a devoutly religious person. However, during these discussions, she begins to realize something's missing. We let Pat tell a little more of her story.
We were telling him just the things that I have been taught at home, the things that I've been taught in the catechism, the things I've been taught in the church. But friends, this is, I believe, when my life began to take a turn. Because when Bertie and I would go into the early hours of the morning talking about my church and so on, and he'd go off home and I'd go into bed and try and get to sleep, my mind was in turmoil because I'd start to go over everything that we'd spoken about. And I knew that I had told him right. I'd given him the answers. But, you know, deep down there was something starting to annoy me. And what it was that for 20 years I had been doing something that I had never really questioned. And now because I was being forced, I was seeing things that I didn't understand. I knew I was doing things that I didn't know why I was doing them. And it began to bother me. I began to think, I'm trying now to convert somebody, and I'm really not sure of the answers. I'm not sure why I'm doing them myself. Some weeks later, when again we were in the south of Ireland, and this particular Sunday evening it was, I would say about around tea time, and we would have been going down to meet some friends and to go to a particular hotel and to stay there to a late hour and then maybe on to a dance or something like that. But this particular evening, that hotel door was closed. And we got back into the car again, and Bertie said, "What would you like to do?" And he didn't expect my answer, nor I didn't think about it, nor I had never it in my mind, nor hadn't thought about it, but out of my mouth rolled these words, "Would you take me to church?"
There'll be more from Pat's testimony next week, but do remember, we are offering the full tape of Pat's testimony free to anyone who contacts us. And if you would like to get the tape, listen for the address at the end of the program, take down those details and contact us, and we'll be happy to send you that free tape. Now we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 6 and take up our study of what is called the Lord's Prayer. We looked at the verse 9, where you have the words given by Christ to his disciples as a basis, a pattern that they should follow, that they should take as an example. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye," says the Savior, "Our Father which art in heaven." This is the address of the prayer. Here is the one to whom the prayer is addressed. And we considered how you must know God as your Father before you can pray. And before you say, "But sure, everybody has God as their Father," that is not the case. That is not so. There is a unique relationship between God and his children, and not all are the children of God. We went into that in some detail. Suffice for me to say that John chapter 8, the verse 44, tells us that the Savior indicates that there are those, religious and all they may be, but they have not God as their Father. They have never been born into his spiritual family. Now we come to the first petition of the prayer. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's an interesting beginning. Where do you begin when you pray? I presume many listening to our program pray. Where do you begin when you pray? What's the first thing you ask God? What's at the head of your prayer list as you begin to pray? Well, I hope it is as the Savior here indicates it ought to be. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The first petition that Christ would have us pray as Christians has to do with the name of God. We must see in this the primacy of God's name. Having regard to God's name, seeking after the glory of God, that is, seeking after an advancing of the honor of God's name, comes before us asking for our daily bread, or before us asking for the forgiveness of sins. Later in this chapter, in the verse 33, we have, again, words that I'm sure are very familiar. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the well-being, the advancement, the honor, the glory of God's kingdom. That ought to be uppermost in our hearts and minds. Coming before consideration of ourselves, we ought to have this as the chief goal of our lives. And the Savior plainly indicates that to us. The honor of God's name should take first place in our lives. It ought to be the first consideration and the first concern that we have. The prophet Elijah, on one occasion, defined his whole witness and stand, and remember, he was living in a day of great apostasy. The king who ruled and reigned over Israel at that time was Ahab, a more wicked king Israel never had. And Elijah said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword." I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Here's a man who was concerned about the name of God. You find the same concern expressed by the psalmist Asaph in Psalm 74 and the verse 10. He says, O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? These men have within them the Spirit of God, and as a result, they have an anxiety, a concern about the name of the Lord. And so ought every true Christian. Christ says, I will show you how it is you ought to pray. Begin your prayer, hallowed be thy name. Seek the hallowing, the honoring, the glorifying of the name of God. It ought to be a matter of prayer, just as the Savior here teaches us. It's something every Christian should be praying about. And mind you, we have plenty of scope for praying about the honoring of God's name in this godless age, an age in which the name of God is dishonored. We ought to be often on our knees. I hope it is so with you, dear Christian. Let me come very quickly to the meaning of the name of God. Now, hallowed be thy name. A name is given for identification, and it becomes the exclusive property of the one so named. And this is especially so with God's name. God's name, I should say names, for God has many names. He has nearly 100 names given in the Bible. 100 names or 100 titles are recorded there. So glorious, so wonderful, so inexpressively wonderful is the Lord that he needs many names to set forth his honor and his glory. Now, it is by God's names that he is revealed to us, just as your name reveals a lot about you. It reveals your background, your ancestry. It reveals so much about you, for you're named not only with the family name, but you have other names, usually linking you to relatives. And so it is with the name of God. Time has beaten us. Tune in again next week, and we'll think of just how God's name reveals him to us. God bless you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.